Hey, folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and NTTFitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, NTTFitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach, drive, drug, car, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the homemade broadcast.
This guy here, he's what we call an enhancement smoker because he thinks that marijuana makes every activity that much better.
Mi casa, su casa.
Observe.
You're Scarface, right?
Yeah.
I love Al Pacino, man. Did you ever see Scent of a Woman?
Yup.
Have you ever seen Scent of a Woman on weed? That's the way to see it, man. It's just whack.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. I hope you had a fantastic 4th of July. Oh my gosh, did you enjoy it? Did you get the Friday off too? Is your boss kind to you? Your job? Your employment? I think I took it off. I'm pretty sure I did. Definitely did radio. And I'm talking like this because I'm recording this super, super early this week. I'm actually recording this on a Monday before 4th of July because somehow I just got out of whack with these podcast release dates. It airs on Radio St. Pete on Sunday, and then I usually release it on podcast on Tuesday. So it's more than a week away that this will actually be aired on podcast. But hopefully no breaking crazy news happens. But you don't really come to this podcast for news, right? Although we do have some news. I played that John Stewart clip because my buddy John Jacobs has this outlet. He's been on the podcast a bunch of times. He's got this new outlet that he's been working on for at least a year now, Tampa News Force. You can follow them on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. I think they're just Tampa News Force. Please do that because John's doing some interesting stuff. He actually got an interview with John Stewart. I don't know where he was. He was at something, and I'm going to play that. So I got a 3-minute clip, too. He actually got some time with the man, and John loves John. So it was kind of cool, and he did a really cool thing, too. He didn't go up to John and say, well, you're going to hear it in the video that I'm going to play, or the audio from the video. But when you meet, like, somebody that you admire, you can't just say, oh, my God, I love you. Okay. Thanks. I don't think they really care if you like their work. Obviously, you like them because you're there bothering him. So he did. He picked out a specific thing that he liked from something that John Stewart did. That is crucial. Great job, John. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line if you have any questions, concerns, comments. You can leave them there. HMBRadio.com is the website. You can get all the blog posts, HMB sides that go up, which are extra podcasts, available only at HMBRadio.com. I usually put at least one of those out a week, at least a couple blogs a week. And, of course, you can get this podcast, the Homemade Broadcast, available over there as well. If you have not, please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in HMB Radio, all one word. That should be enough, but if you need it, put Tampa Bay in there as well. Click the subscribe button. Give it 5 stars. It only takes a second. It really helps out, and I do appreciate you doing so. I still got stickers and magnets and stuff if you want some. You can click the contact page over at HMB Radio or just email thehomemadebroadcast at radiostpete.com, and I will happily send you some. Just put your address in there. I'll take care of the postage, so don't worry about it. I want you to have them. So if you want some, please get them. The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa, St. Petersburg's, no, Tampa Bay's, that's right, premier salon in the area. Yep, it's true. I swear to you. Chrissy Parker does a fantastic job down there. She's cutting hair. She's doing Brazilian blowout. She's dyeing hair, doing all this crazy. I don't know what goes in. I just go into a barber and I pay him $14 and he gives me a haircut. She's got crazy stuff going on in there. If you're a lady, she'll cut dudes' hair too. Yeah, no, she doesn't discriminate. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Make your appointment at Truvy, T-R-U, V as in Victory, Y, salonandspa.com. And the story I picked this week to talk about, it seems like it's heavy St. Pete local news. Creative Loafing ran an article this week about a St. Pete City Council candidate who won't drop out after some of his tweets were unearthed about women, race, and, of course, LGBTQ stuff. If you have a Twitter and you're running for office, you are out of your mind. Dude, shut down all your accounts. They gotta go. Get rid of them all. People are unable to place context of jokes. They could take anything out of context they want and use it against you if they so choose. You're out of your mind. Ditch your account. Make it private. Unsearchable somehow. I would say just cancel your... Just get rid of it because they'll find ways to get in there. Just cancel. And honestly, it's probably too late. Anyways, if you had a Twitter at some point, and God forbid you made some uncouth jokes, you're screwed because these journalists will dig through your account because they're bored and don't have much to do, apparently. And if they don't like you, they'll smear you. But so, yeah, this guy, Tampa Bay and St. Petersburg City Council candidate Scott Orsini, he's not going to drop out of the race after insensitive Twitter posts about race, women, and LGBTQ community surfaced. Uh-oh, yeah, that's a no-no. You can make jokes about anybody else, but not those people. Orsini, a 53-year-old Democrat, is running against lawyer John Hornbeck, a real estate investor, and Robert Blackmon, a nonpartisan, a nonpartisan race for the District 1 seat. While some of the posts, this is pretty good, I gotta say, these are kind of funny. Like, just take away the person that he's running for office. What we forget is that politicians and doctors and lawyers, like, they're still people, and they still make jokes and stuff. Well, some of the posts, this is this guy talking, not me. Not me. It's this man, Scott Orsini's Twitter account. He says, I thought about getting a bicep tattoo, and then I remembered it wasn't 1992, and I'm not a lesbian. That's pretty funny. Come on, that's pretty hilarious. Have you ever seen a lesbian's biceps? Most of the time, they got a tattoo on them. They were written in 2013. Others, like a possibly racially insensitive message, oh boy, about the 2018 Florida Attorney General candidate Sean Shaw, were sent last year. He said, I supported Sean because I've liked him ever since we ran together in the Florida House back in 2014, Orsini wrote. Oddly enough, I actually forgot he was black. To me, he was always just a really good guy who wanted to do the right thing. So they're taking that as, you know, I guess that it's a bad thing that he's black or something. That's not how I read it. But they decided to highlight that tweet for some reason. And they don't put the context in there of what it could possibly mean. I'm sure there's more to that, but they just take the little snippet because that's what they do. Some other 2013 Twitter posts reference the opening of a porn star's tweet in a courtroom. Another Orsini tweet mentioned in a Florida political article about the candidate responding to the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals post, where the group asked, hashtag, sure, sex is great, but have you ever tried it while vegan? Orsini purportedly shot back with and I quote, you can't last longer because you rarely get laid, because who wants to F a preachy vegan, really? A good point, really, right? They're annoying. Over the weekend, Orsini issued a statement regarding the Twitter post. He mentioned reviewing the past decade of his digital life. He says, I found that in an effort to be humorous, I tweeted a small number of tweets to and about women and the LGBTQ community. He wrote in his apology, he admitted to the childish tweets being insensitive, but added that he did not bully, incite violence, or discriminate. He's just trying to be funny, guys. I mean, come on. He says, this is a humiliating and humbling experience, and one that I will not repeat, he added in response to Orsini. In response, Orsini said that he will announce two community events that will address cyberbullying and insensitive online communication. Oh, Jesus. According to Florida Politics, Orsini has been endorsed by Pinellas County Commissioner Pat Girard and Democratic State Rep Jennifer Webb. The Tampa Bay Times said Orsini has also secured the endorsements of outgoing city council member Charlie Gerdes, who is vacating the District 1 seat and that Orsini is running for, and St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman. Webb and Girard did not return the Times calls for comment, and Gerdes knows about the tweets and stands by Orsini. Nonetheless, a spokesman for the mayor, who is in Hawaii for the U.S. Conference of Mayors, told the Times that Kreisman knows about the tweets but has not spoken to Orsini and will not comment on the matter further until he returns to speak with the candidate. Uh-oh, so he's going to get scolded by Mayor Rick there. Yeah, you're out of your mind if you're running for office and you're got a Twitter account. Completely out of your mind. So lesson learned, just delete your accounts, everybody, and I think the world will be a better place. All right, now, before we get into car time, I want to play this interview that my buddy John and Tampa News Force did with John Stewart. So I just want to play some of the audio. It's a cool thing. I was happy for John. And it's just, you know, John Stewart's in Tampa. And, you know, I can't get to all these things. And John doesn't have a real job. So he's able to go to this stuff. And I want to support John Stewart. And I want to support my friend John. So it just seems like it all works together. So let's hear this interview from Tampa News Force, John Jacobs, interviewing John Stewart.
John, nice to meet you. You don't know how long I've been waiting for this moment. I saw you perform at Congressional Hall when I was a child. I remember your encore. You flew back out. You're pretending you're like an airplane. And then you landed on the mic. And then you talked about how your old cell phone needed a new charger and an Igor-like guy led you down a long hall of stairs.
Oh, my God. I think that's right. I think that's right.
Oh, my God. I know.
Now, look, you're twice my height.
I know. I know, my hair's a little longer. I've been a comedian for 12 years myself.
Oh, wow, congratulations. Yes.
And, yeah.
Are you working in this era?
Yeah, I have. I moved to L.A. for a little bit. It didn't work out.
Right.
But I'm trying still.
Florida's a good era.
A good hub. Adam Sandler was just here last night.
Yeah, he was in Tampa.
Cool. Yeah.
He's in Sarasota, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
Tell me.
So, do you believe if you were still the host of The Daily Show, the world would be the way it is right now?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I mean, talking to Congress
I was spitting into the ocean, man.
No.
It's, I don't know if you remember, but I was pretty against a lot of the stuff that kept happening. And
of
then
course.
I would just do this.
That's
but
why
they
I
didn't...
feel like if you were around, there's no way Trump would have gotten there.
Yeah, I really don't think that's
don't
correct.
Think so?
No.
Well, I think you proved your influence the other day with Congress, though.
Oh, but that's, you know, those... I didn't prove mine. Lou Alvarez proved his.
Yeah.
Mikey O'Connell proved his. You know, Inesta... All the people that testified who've been through so much, like, as in the entertainment industry, you have one monkey trick. You can get them to point a camera every now and again at something you think needs to be highlighted.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
And you hope that the thing you're highlighting is persuasive and righteous enough that it makes people act.
How did you become so passionate about the military?
You know, I was... against the things that we were making them do. And so I thought, I didn't want to talk out of my ass. I might as well go down and start meeting these guys. So early on in the Iraq War, I started to go down to Walter Reed, Bethesda, and meeting with the wounded warriors, just seeing how they felt about things, you know, what was on their mind. And as you can see from being around here, they're such exceptional people that the relationships just grew from there and deepened and got involved in this a few years back. And
so I say, even if you don't agree where we're sending the troops, it's always right to support them in general.
These men and women are some of the finest people I think I've ever run across. So
yeah.
Yep.
So through Congress, you kind of used a shame tactic a little bit.
I don't know if that works up there.
No, well, it seemed to work. Everybody's been paying attention nonstop now.
Yeah. I gotta go. All
right. Also, what was the final question?
Sagittarius.
No. I wrote down, my handwriting's terrible. I had one more thing. What was
it? You're a comedian. Of course your handwriting is terrible.
I know. This
happens at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your HBO show.
Yes.
There was supposed to be animation. The animation didn't keep up as fast. What happened there?
No. Well, so we were trying to do, a live action 24-hour type, sort of modeled on CNN, but through animation.
Yeah.
But the render times, it's not quite there yet. I do think it'll be possible because they've gotten the render times, I think, are much closer to what they need to be. But for animation, I still think it's a very considered art form. And I think to try and apply it to topical stuff is not quite there yet on a regular basis.
Sure.
But it's getting there.
Yeah, and it's easier to relate to cartoons. You know, it's family friendly a little bit.
Not about that, but
yeah. Oh, man. So, I'm sorry, I'm still freaking out because I'm talking to you.
Don't freak out.
Right now.
There you go.
But the animation thing didn't work. So what's the worst problem in the world?
Say it again.
What's the worst problem in the world?
Wow. I have no idea.
No idea?
Do you have the answer?
Greed?
Sure.
I mean,
let's go with that.
I mean, I guess general evil inside.
I'm saying evil.
But where does
evil up there?
Well, if we're all made in God's image, does that mean there's some sort of divine fiber in all of us that makes us think that we deserve to live like
Holy
gods?
Shit. Are you high?
My hair's long for a reason. But thank you so much for talking to us. And this is the part of the show where I hand you our TNF USB. This is the moment in the movie where the young rapper gives the established guy's mixtape.
All right.
And there's our USB with movies and interviews, and this is my card.
I got the mom spaghetti.
Yes, right. And how do we become the Florida branch of The Daily Show?
Well, you know what? You'll have to talk to them.
Yeah, they're constantly making fun of Florida. Wouldn't it make sense to have somebody down here looking at it?
I think they'd be overwhelmed.
I think they would,
too. Too many Florida men.
Right, too many. Well, it's only because they know our laws. When we break the law, it's not like New York. They don't know the crimes up there.
That's exactly
the sunshine
right.
law. Yeah, so
we don't have any.
Yeah, we're not that bad. It's just you see it all.
True.
Yeah.
That is true.
I hear you. Well, thank you so much. My name's John too.
All right, there you go. John Jacobs interviewing John Stewart. I love this. We gotta go. We gotta go at the end. Make sure you follow John and Josh Santos do the Tampa News for us. You can find it on Facebook very easily if you just search Tampa News Force. This week on Car Time, or Bedtime, as it sometimes is, it's a time where I'm either traveling or I am laying in bed not being sexy and just shooting the breeze, you know, whatever topic is on my mind. This week, since it was 4th of July, I wanted to tell you about some good firework stories I had as a boy where someone I knew, or sometimes me, almost died because we were playing with fireworks. I'm sure everybody has those. Car Time or Bedtime is brought to you by Sumi Fink Real Estate with Charles Rutenberg Realty. Sumi is Tampa Bay's premier. Yes, I got a premier spa. I got a premier realtor all on one podcast who sponsored this thing. It's amazing. But Sumi is really great. She helped me find an affordable place to live here in St. Pete, which is a really hard thing to do. She's a tireless worker. And whether you're buying, selling, or renting, she can help you out big time. You can reach her at 727-488-3729, or you can find her on Facebook. Just search Sumi, S-U-M-I, Fink, F-I-N-K, Real Estate. You can find her. She's got all her listings on there, and she can help you find your dream home. All right, let's talk some fireworks on this week's Car Time, or Bedtime, on the Homemade Broadcast.
God, how many times do you think that the robocalls, what's the success rate on getting actual sales on the robocalls, the automated robocalls? It's unbelievable. I don't know, conservatively 0% maybe? They're just annoying. There's no way those can possibly
garner actual sales. No way. Anyway, it's not what this is about. I just got a call before I started this. And they're constant. At work, I get them all day long. I would say 80% of the phone calls we receive at my office are scams for the robocall stuff. Or the cleaning services. That's another one we get all the time. I would never hire a service that called in order to, could just cold call like that? No chance. I'm going to search it out on Google. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, fireworks. 4th of July was earlier this week. Nothing more American than fireworks. St. Pete had a terrific, I'm sure, display. I've been missing the fireworks the past few years because I usually end up day drinking on 4th of July, and then I pass out. I can't hang anymore when fireworks start. And I don't live as close as I used to, so you gotta take Ubers or taxi cabs, and it's always super expensive now, so I never really get to see fireworks anymore. I love fireworks, though. New Year's Eve, 4th of July, those are the holidays, man. Those are the fun ones. But yeah, fireworks, man. That's where it's at. I was thinking about the good old fireworks stories. We live in Florida, most of us, if you're listening. Florida is notorious for Florida Man episodes, and I'm sure the headlines from the 4th of July are going to be at least a few stories of Florida men with fireworks. No doubt about it. I used to live across the street from this redneck. Bill was his name, as a matter of fact. And he was a complete lunatic. I remember me and my stepdad having a bottle rocket battle royale across the street shooting bottle rockets at each other. Super fun. Stepdad made this thing out of PVC, a launcher, so we could launch bottle rockets at Bill across the street. And then I recall this time I must have been about 12 or 13, and Bill had some mortar shells. He had the good stuff. And I'd no one on the street I grew up on, lower middle class area. It was all, before Bill arrived from Tennessee, it was all snakes and sparklers for the most part. Every once in a while you'd get a fountain or something, a large fountain, maybe some Roman candles every once in a while. But no, Billy across the street had mortar shells. And I'd never seen one that close. You always see them from so far exploding off in the distance. And they're incredible, beautiful. But I actually had one right in the cul-de-sac I grew up on. And I assumed that Bill knew what he was doing. Which was, in retrospect, a really bad decision. Because Bill didn't know what he was doing, as it turned out. So what you do with the mortars is you put them in the tube. It comes with this tube, and then you get the fuse to stick out of the top of the tube, and then you light it, and you run away, and then boom, it shoots out of the mortar shell. But what Bill did, instead of doing it that way, he tried to Kobe Bryant three-pointer this mortar shell into the tube. Now, the tube is the same diameter as the actual mortar shell. So, basically, absolutely 0% chance that this mortar shell, even if it's perfectly, even if it's a perfect shot, that's the only way you're going to do it. And then you got to think, oh my God, is it going to land the right side up? But let's just say the odds were 0%, just like the robocalls of this actually being successful. He launches it. Of course it doesn't go in. Bounces off. Now we got a live mortar shell in the street. And the actual tube kind of keeps it in a direction where you kind of know where it's going to go, you know? So now nobody knows where this thing's freaking going. It could come right for one of our eyeballs. It could come just hit us in the face. Somebody's going to get hit with this thing. Odds are. So I'm running, ducking behind this I duck behind a car, boom, lights off, hits the neighbor's house, bam, the loudest sound I had ever heard in my young life that close before. Super intense. Thank God nobody got hurt from that one. But Bill learned a valuable lesson, and that was use the tube correctly. I taught him, and then after that he was good. Actually, I don't know what happened to that guy. I wonder where he's at now. He actually had a half of a foot, too. That was not from a firework. He had he got his toes cut off because he got run over. I got run over by a train that he was trying to hop. So I hope he's okay, although he's probably not, I'm sure. And then the other fireworks story I have was my friend almost killed my other friend with a firework. My buddy Adam, complete lunatic, great guy, complete psychopath. He is notorious, or was notorious, for spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on fireworks throughout the years. I mean, no, not hundreds, thousands of dollars over the years. But he was working this job, and he had, it's probably the most money he's ever made in his life. And he spent, I don't know, $1,000 or something on fireworks. So, we decided to do, you know, as teenagers, you do silly things involving, unsafe stuff. This time it was fireworks. So we're holding the mortar tube, and then we're launching these fireworks out of the said tube. It's great, super fun. So our friend Helena, she's a beautiful girl, great musician. She's actually been on the podcast long time ago, like when I first started. But, you know, she's really into music, and she was really taking the music thing seriously. Like, that was going to be her job, and she was going to make records and, like, you know, tour. And so, obviously, her hearing is going to be important for her in her future and her future goals and plans. So she decides, hey, I want to do this as well. I want to hold the tube and have the mortar shell explode from my hands. Ended up, in retrospect, not being a great idea for her. So, Adam is notoriously clumsy. He has bad crap happen to him. He has really cool stuff happen to him, but he also has really terrible stuff happen to him as well. And he's just, you know, he screws up sometimes. And he put, so we go, okay, Helena, go ahead. So she holds it up over her head, this mortar tube, and Adam puts in the mortar shell, lights it, puts it in. Unfortunately, put it in backwards. Yeah, it didn't, not the best, not the best way to put it. And boom! Oh my God, this thing just explodes right in Helena's poor face. Now, I think with the mortars, at least they kind of shoot off in different directions. There's not something that's coming right towards her. They kind of explode and they go off and, you know, all around you, but not right at you if she's holding it. And then she goes, I can't hear anything. And poor Adam felt so bad about this. He thought, oh my God, I ruined her life. You know, she's not gonna be able to sing anymore. She can't hear anything. She was devastated. But, you know, she ended up being okay, thankfully. After a few days. But it was scary there for a minute, no doubt about it. But yeah, fireworks you gotta be careful of, man. Although I really miss, remember just going out? I mean, I grew up in the late 90s. So we used to, I don't know, I just feel like things were less, obviously they're less, I don't know, wild. We used to just have, you know, shoot bottle rockets at each other, Roman candles, shoot them at each other. It's fun. Nobody got hurt. You know, well, people got hurt, but not, you know, seriously. Now it's, you know, gosh, do kids even play with fireworks anymore? Probably not. They'd probably have to go and watch them from a safe distance at the pier, which I know is a smart move, but gosh, you just miss some of the dangerous fun. Dangerous things are fun. 813-693-2124 is a voice and text line. If you have any good fireworks stories, I'd sure like to hear them. I love those. Talk to you later. I'll talk to you in 1 second. Okay, bye.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Homemade Podcasts and HomemadePodcasts.com. Homemade Podcasts is a podcast consulting company. If you're interested in learning the medium of podcasting but don't know how to begin, whether it's hardware, software, RSS feeds, all that good stuff, I can help you because I'm doing it right now. That's how you're hearing this. Or if you're a business that's interested in reaching new and existing clientele, podcasting is a great way to do that. So visit homemadepodcasts with an S.com, click the contact page, shout me a holler. All right, this week on Stay Woke, I hate to do this to you, I'm sorry, but it's big, big news. It's large in the debate of the culture right now. We got an immigration problem at the border. There's camps that are set up where these thousands and thousands of people are arriving every day, and there's not enough resources for them. And some people think these things should be shut down and that they're concentration camps, and some people are saying, I don't know what you want me to do. I have no idea. What do you want? So Anna and I talked a little bit about that on Stay Woke earlier this week. Stay Woke is a radio program heard on 102.5 The Bone, here locally here in Tampa Bay. You can get it at theboneonline.com or download the app. You just search 102.5 The Bone and you click the subscribe button, and then you can get it on demand. So you don't have to stay up till midnight to listen to this thing. So yeah, that way you can get it on demand. So let's check out, I'm sorry, the immigration talk on Stay Woke right here on The Homemade Broadcast.
Immigration. I know we've talked about this before, but we're getting constantly bombarded with updates. And I feel like because of that photo, that horrific photo that was released of the young toddler, the girl, and her father that were shown washed up on a riverbank, we kind of need to discuss this once again. Because it's at the forefront of the news. We got migrant kids at the border, you know, those border centers or asylum centers are packed. Yeah. They're in way over capacity. Yeah. I mean, there's just no room for anyone. I know 100 migrant children were removed, sent somewhere else, and the next day they were sent right back. And the conditions are bad.
They're bad. They're bad. Not good.
Not enough food, like not hygienic.
No beds.
No diapers. Like, yeah. We're really in a stressful situation. So we're trying to deal with it as best we can. But the president, Republicans, even the Democrats, a lot of people are getting a lot of heat for not attending to the situation like they should. And before we even get started, I know we might get some calls about people that are disgusted about what is going on and the conditions and all of that. I just would like a second level of analysis before you call in. When you call in, you can state your opinion, absolutely. But if you could offer, I'm not asking you to solve the problem. Obviously, it's very complicated. I'm not asking you to call in with a fully thought out solution. But if you could just give us an idea of how we could do it better and why we should do it better. Because here's the thing. Those asylum centers are not made to hold thousands of people. Right? Thousands of people. You know, it's not like these people are within the confines of the United States of America. They're coming across of their own volition because apparently probably being in somewhat of a cage is a better condition than being in Guatemala.
And that's the thing, too. They call these things concentration camps. There are thousands of people every day that are desperately trying to get into these concentration camps.
Yeah.
And that tells you where we're at right now. This is a subject where I'm very interested in. Not really passionate. I get frustrated because it's very complicated, but I don't think it's as complicated as we think here. We have thousands of people crossing into the border every day. We have these centers. What do you want us to do? Like they're saying these are camps and they need to be shut down. Isn't it better for these kids to have a shelter? The alternative would be to just open the border and just let them go through the desert and walk around. how many kids are going to die?
Or turn them away and say, no, we're not even going to hold you. You got to go back.
You got to go back. I guess that, yeah, that would be another thing. But I don't think they, I don't think the other side wants that either. It seems like they're desperately just, what's that saying where you cut off your nose to spite your face type thing? Like they want whatever Trump says, they want the opposite of, it seems like.
Yeah.
And they, everybody just speaks in platitudes. We don't need to separate. We shouldn't be separating kids from their parents. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's also, I kind of agree with that, but also, number one, they broke the law and they go to these centers. What, I don't understand what else you want us to do with that, number
one.
You
can't shoot at them. That's not okay.
Right.
You don't want them to live in cages, but they're coming over. Like, what? I feel like it's like tripled or something like that, the amount of migrants that are coming to the border.
And they know that if you bring a kid with you, you're going to get priority. So that's incentive to bring children over the border, and kids are dying because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say, it doesn't matter, we'll ship you back. It doesn't matter if you have a kid or not.
Right.
That might be a solution here to this thing. I know a lot of them are saying that they're seeking asylum, but there's pretty strict rules for asylum. You have to be, it should be like a life or death situation in your country, and most of these, they're not Mexicans. They're coming from Central America.
Most of them are Central America.
And it's just that it sucks over there, so they want to get out. And I don't really blame them for that. I'm compassionate to that. I understand it. You know, it stinks over there. But it's not like their government's not oppressive to them. So that, I don't think that really fits into the criteria of asylum, as far as my understanding goes. But
that
I just,
that their government isn't oppressive?
Yeah, I don't think there's like oppressive governments that are like threatening to kill them. It's like a life or death situation in order to claim asylum.
Right. Yeah.
But it just stinks. Like it sucks.
But the government, the governments are corrupt.
It's
and
just
they're,
poor
they're in bed with the cartels, and it sucks. It's absolutely horrible.
It stinks.
And I know, I remember the famous economist Milton Friedman once said, people vote with their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they want to come to this country, they're risking, I mean, they're on this journey for weeks, maybe even months, especially with really young children, and they come to these borders. What do you want us to do? I feel like is the main question. And it, of course, it's like, well, we can't have these people in these horrible conditions. I agree. It sucks. It's horrible. But here's the thing, though. If these were people that were American citizens and we were putting people in internment camps like the Japanese, like the Chinese, like doing something like that, obviously not okay. But when people are coming of their own volition to the country, I mean, you got to vet them. And not just vet them for, are they criminals? Are they, I mean, some of them, you got to even worry about like people like ISIS because they're like infiltrating and also diseases.
That's a big problem too right now. Yeah, the diseases that are coming in. And also too, sometimes they know that a kid will get them in. So they just steal a kid. Like, I mean, and I'm not saying it's all the time, but there's definitely cases where there's just some kid with them and then they just go, okay, scram, beat it, you know? So then they're going to be wandering through the desert if we just open the borders and let everybody come in. I don't know how many deaths are going to happen from that. And then what? So even if you take them and ship them into a city, you just got a bunch of homeless people all over your streets now. So what do you do? Are we supposed to rent the Marriotts out and put them all up in a hotel? I mean, like, I just want to know for people who are really against these centers and believe they should be closed down, like, what would you want instead?
What is the alternative?
Please tell me, because I'm certainly all ears on this thing. I just don't know what we could possibly do with this thing.
Yeah, please call in 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. I just feel like, much like you said, it's just like they go against the grain of whatever Trump says, whatever the Republicans say. If they say that they want green, then they want blue. If they say they want yellow, then they want purple. Whatever it is, they just want the opposite. It's horrible, obviously. And here's the thing, like that daughter and the young man, the father and daughter that washed up on shore, horrible. That's awful that had happened, but that was not someone that was shot by border security. That was not someone that was abducted by a government official and drowned in Guantanamo Bay. They did that of their own volition, and it's horrible that they felt like they had to do that. It is absolutely horrendous. But the fact that I see that photo and then I see the American government or even the Senate getting blamed for that, I need to unpack why it is their fault.
It's become a totally political thing. It's Trump's fault. No, it's the Senate's fault. They're trying to get this bill through. Like, that could be another alternative too. Okay, these centers are in desperate need of supplies and everything. Well, then give him the money that he's asking for, that Trump's asking for, so he can help fund these things. And there was people were really upset. See, people, they're all heart and no head, I feel like. Now, you got to have both. You got to have a good mixture of both. But a lot of these people are just all heart. They just see these centers and they go, oh, this is terrible. And I go, yeah, I agree with you. But we have to have some sort of rational, logical solution to this thing. So give him his money then. And I think they just passed a bill today to give him the money reluctantly, though.
4.
Nancy Pelosi.
Billions?
Yes. Made sure that she said it was very reluctant that they gave him the money. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
She was very upset about it. She was going nuts on CNN about how these
and
are.
And this money is going to those facility
to the
centers?
Yeah.
So why are they upset about
it?
I honestly couldn't read into it.
Because the centers are going to remain open. She wants the centers closed because she says they're concentration camps.
Okay. So, I mean, aren't they renovating the centers?
They're going to bring in supplies.
So what did they want?
I don't know. They want whatever. That's what I'm asking. Like, anybody who's has a suggestion, please let me know. But everything they come up with, they're like, nope, we just want the centers closed.
It's a cage.
But if you close those things and you just let people wander through the desert, they're going to die in mass.
Absolutely.
There's no water out there.
I mean, I guess I live in a cage because I have a gated community.
Right.
You know, like, so just because it has a fence around it doesn't mean it's a cage.
I think we don't have the resources to. We got thousands of homeless people that are American citizens all over the streets. We don't have the resources for them, apparently. We're going to give $4.6 billion to these people who aren't technically citizens. I know that this is something that Charles Dickens wrote about, too. Telescopic philanthropy. It's been in Western culture forever, where you have all these homeless kids. I think it's Oliver Twist. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
And they're begging in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, and these rich elites, you know, erudites, mm-hmm. are shooing them away, and they're going on mission trips to Africa instead to help spread the word. It just seems like if you put your resources here, you're going to get a lot more done. And then once you kind of make it awesome here, then you can kind of spread it out a little bit more.
Right.
But there's so much, you know, people walk out their front doors here, and it is incredible. It really is. Like, we are so blessed to just be born
fortunate,
here.
Fortunate, but sure.
Fortunate, yeah, whatever you want to say. And I get it. But it's just there's still a lot of work to do.
Oh, absolutely.
That we could be doing.
It's really funny that you mentioned that. I can't remember who, of course, I listen to Joe Rogan every day, but I can't remember who Rogan was talking to, but he talked about that exact same thing. They didn't say that name of it, the telescopic philanthropy, is that what it was called?
Mm-hmm.
That we have this sort of compassion for people in Uganda and Ghana and Trinidad and Central America. But when it comes to our own homeless people, we kind of turn a blind eye. We kind of don't care.
Yeah.
And I was really, because I was like, oh my God, I've never thought about that, but I understand that. And I definitely feel that when we talk about issues like this, especially when it comes to things like immigration or foreign policy, this is my theory on this. This is just my personal thing. I think that people think that if you're in a rich country and you're poor or you're destitute, it is somehow your fault. Mm. You had a chance and you ruined it somehow. These are not my words. This is just my speculation of what I think the ethos is in our community, in our society. I think that people assume that if you are poor in a rich country, you had the opportunity and you screwed it up somehow. You got addicted to drugs. And I don't mean poor like poor. I mean like homeless poor. That's what I'm talking about. But if you are in Uganda or you're in Guatemala or Venezuela, you never even had the chance because your country is poor. Venezuela is actually a rich country, but the people there are POSs. Mm-hmm. But anyways, nevertheless, I feel like that is kind of how we look into it, because I remember asking myself when Rogan and the I don't remember who he was talking to, they were discussing that, and I was like, why would that be the case that we don't care about the homeless people in our own city,
right,
but we care about the homeless people of other countries and other cities? Wouldn't you care about the people that are in your community? But when I started to think about it, I'm like, I really think it's the case that people think that poor people here, homeless people here, had the chance to not be homeless and they screwed it up. It's their fault. But in other countries, never had the chance.
Mm. All right, there we go. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. If you have an opinion on this, I'd like to hear it. Sure, why not? HMBradio.com is the website. Please subscribe to the podcast if you have not, for HMB sides. And get on HMBradio.com. because HMB sites can only be found on the podcast feed, and that's extra content that I put up sporadically throughout the week, and blog posts go up sporadically as well on hmbradio.com. Lots of local news and good stuff over there. If you want some stickers and stuff, let me send you some. Just shoot me an email, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, and I will send some to your attention free of charge. And with that, I think I'm going to go. I'm going to go enjoy my holiday. I hope you enjoyed your 4th of July celebrating this great country. And I hope you got day drunk. And I hope you managed to stay up and see the fireworks, because they're fun. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned, because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit after that. And if you're listening on podcast, thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. I love you. And I will talk to you probably in about a week or so. Stay woke. Midnight, 102.5 The Bone, if you can't wait till then. Otherwise, I don't know. Goodbye. See ya. Bye. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. All right. Bye. You hang up first. Okay, bye.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.